From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I do want to mention as we open the broadcast today that I have a resource that we love to put into people's hands. It's called the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. It's designed to answer questions that stumble seekers and solidify skeptics in their opposition to a biblical worldview. It was born out of 2 decades of doing the nationally syndicated Bible Answer Man broadcast to which you're listening right now, and I've taken my impromptu answers and chiseled them until only the gem emerged. For those who join the Bible Answer Man support team, I would be pleased to send you a personalized copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition to you, to a family member, or to a friend. Again, check this out on the World Wide Web at equip.org or write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, do remember that resource consultants are standing by that number, 888-7000, and the letter is CRI. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. First up is Ronald listening in Garland, Texas. Hi, Ronald.
Hey, how are you, Hank?
Good, thank you.
Hey, I was through Revelation, and the first question is, I went through the New International Version first. Would you suggest the second time the New King James Version? Do you think that would help me understand a little bit better the second time?
Well, I mean, I think the New International Version is a very good version. It's typically referred to as what's called a dynamic equivalency. So it's a thought-for-thought translation from the original languages into the receptor language English. And it's done in conversational language that's fairly easy to apprehend. I think the New King James Version is also a beautiful version in that it retains the elegance of the Elizabethan English, but also takes into consideration the best manuscript evidence extant today.
Okay. My question also was getting through Revelation. I tell you what, it was very powerful. I mean, I wasn't expecting what I was reading, but one of the questions was, I believe it, I can't remember what chapter it was, but maybe 12, somewhere along there, where the woman was pregnant and had the child. Now, when she had the child, was that the Christ?
Yeah, I mean,
what I'm talking about?
Sure. What John is doing is bringing together all of the woman imagery, if you will, that you find throughout the Bible. And through that, he's presenting a composite portrait of the covenant community that is laboring to bring forth the Messiah, because it is the seed of the woman that will crush the dragon or the serpent's head. You see that in the proto-evangel that you read about early on in Genesis chapter 3. So from that proto-evangel to the flood, from the Abrahamic covenant through the slavery in Egypt, the Exodus, the settling of Canaan, the Babylonian captivity, the return from exile, and the suffering under the Greeks and the Romans, Israel was laboring to give birth to the Christ to bring in the Messianic age and ultimately the offspring that come from that. So this is an epic story that is not just given in terms of a lineal fashion, but a composite fashion with respect to those images that I just related to you from the Old Testament.
Okay. Very good. Okay. All right. Well, I sure do appreciate it.
Appreciate you calling in. God bless you. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to John St. Michael, Minnesota. Hi, John.
Hey, good, great to have the chance to talk to you today. I have a question. I've had a goal for a long time to read the Bible. I read passages here and there, but I want to read it, all of it. And I found on BibleStudyTools.com, it has several ways that you can read the Bible. And one way was to read, it was like a verse from the Old Testament, a verse from the New Testament, and they have a connection. And I'm just wondering if maybe that might not be the way to go or would be. Maybe I should just start from Genesis and read the way it was written. I want your opinion on that.
Yeah, well, you know, I have a legacy reading plan that I put together. I put a lot of thought into that plan so that you could read through books rather than bits. And it is very helpful in that regard to read biblical authors sequentially. The legacy reading plan is grouped by author, and that is particularly helpful because even though biblical authors wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, their personalities and their proclivities are clearly evident in their writing. Also, the reading calendar is naturally segmented into seasons and the seasons into months. So at the beginning of each year, you know that during the winter you'll focus on the Pentateuch and poetry, in spring the historical books, in summer the prophets, and during the fall the New Testament. And then each season is further broken down into months, and therefore every January your goal is to read through Genesis and Exodus, and every December, the Synoptic Gospels and Acts. And there are times when you'll naturally read 10 chapters at a time, and others when you will read one or two. But most importantly, you will read the Bible just as you read other literature. So it is, again, designed very carefully so that you get the most out of your reading through the Bible.
Okay. All right, great. I have several of your other publications, and I appreciate all the work you do at CR. It really helps me in my walk with Christ. Thank you.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines, Daryl next, St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Daryl.
How you doing, Hank?
Good, thank you.
I've been listening to you for a while, and I really appreciate what you bring. It's been a pretty good inspiration for me.
Thank you.
My question may be a little complicated, at least it is for me. But I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, but I'm not a part of any denomination or religious sect. I have no seminary background. I do believe that I have been called, but when I go online and I start looking for resources to help equip myself for that calling, my question to you is, I recently went on and I noticed that they have some online ministries that ordain ministers and reverends. And my skepticism is this a legal matter or a spiritual matter? And, you know, they're pretty much ordaining you without even seeing you or speaking to you. How would you approach something like that? And what advice would you give for someone in a situation like mine to go? Because I want to do it correctly. I don't want to do anything that's not right.
Yeah, I mean, I think the very hesitancy that you express is a sign that you have great discernment. I don't think this is the way you want to be ordained. But I do think that what you want to do is study to show yourself approved, a workman that need not blush with embarrassment, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I think the best place to start, particularly with respect to your calling, is to learn the art and science of biblical interpretation. Because in the end, the Bible becomes the final court of arbitration, because God has spoken, these are His words. And if He has spoken, the question becomes, what has He said? And that entails, again, learning to mine the Bible for all its wealth. And that's both an art and a science. It's a science in that rules apply. It is an art in that the more you apply the rules, the better you get at it. I have put together, actually, a flip chart on the art and science of biblical interpretation, which gives you the principles in a memorable format and then applies it. So you can, through that process, learn the principles and then learn how, by example, to apply those principles so you become an artist, as it were, in terms of the interpretation of Scripture. But I think that's a very important place to start.
Okay, and how would I get that information?
Well, if you hang on, we can make a way for you to get the flip chart. You can also find it on the web at equip.org. It's actually called Lights on Your Path to Reading the Bible for All It's Worth.
Okay.
Okay? So you can find it on the web or just hang on. We can get one into your hands.
Thank you very much, Hank.
Hey, you got it, Daryl. May God bless you and your calling. I remember it wasn't all that long ago. Well, actually, it was a long time ago that I felt that tug of God upon my heart, and I responded by studying to show myself approved. And part of that process was not only memorizing the Word of God, meditating upon the Word of God, but mining the Word of God for all its wealth. As we go to break, do remember that this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. Without you, we can't do what we do. And we're asking people, if they can, to make a generous donation. Whatever you could do would be deeply appreciated and used for God's glory and the extension of His kingdom. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions in just a moment.
Every Bible Answer Man broadcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, is made possible through the financial support of friends like you. Each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through His people to bring you more of the broadcast, podcast, and other resources you rely on. If you want a sound proclamation and defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Call 888-7000-CRI and stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. We'll return shortly with more from Hank Hanegraaff.
If you're not horrified, you should be, because the relentless assaults of wokeism on sanity and common sense have now reached a fevered pitch. In fact, some astute observers see more than deranged ideologies at work. It's as though the gates of hell have been opened. And alarmingly, the speed of this mindless rush to chaos and potential civilizational collapse is gaining momentum daily. That means Christians need to wake up, and wake up fast. One of the best alarm clocks is the upcoming special Woke edition of the Christian Research Journal. It contains sobering articles with penetrating analyses of a social disease that is reaching a flashpoint. To receive your copy of this special edition of the Christian Research Journal, visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI.
Angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. While many of you will soon enter the hustle and bustle of the holiday season, Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org. Also available is The Heart of Christmas audiobook, dramatically read by Hank Hanegraaff. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Being asleep at the wheel is dangerous. In fact, it can be downright deadly. That should be a wake-up call to Christians who are dangerously asleep at the wheel when it comes to wokeism. It's a deadly ideology that permits no discussion or debate. Simply obey or else. Make no mistake, people who are tolerant of such madness and incivility aren't being gracious. They are being dangerously and perhaps fatally naive. So grave are the threats of wokeism to civilization as we have known it that we have dedicated an entire special edition of the Christian Research Journal to analyzing this now rampant social and mental disease. To receive your copy of the special woke edition of the Christian Research Journal, visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. And now, let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Phyllis, listening in Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Phyllis.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's nice talking to you.
I've been listening to you for quite some time and just never had the chance to call. But I had a question about in 2 Corinthians 12 about Paul's visions and revelations and God giving him a thorn in the flesh because of not wanting to become conceited about those.
No.
My question is, why did God send a messenger of Satan to buffet Paul? Couldn't he have done it some other way?
Yeah, that is a really good question. And one possibility is that the thorn in the flesh in that context is a Hebrew idiom for the continued persecutions that are faced by Paul. Remember that he is continually tormented by those who are, in fact, instruments in the hand of the evil one. And Paul may be using this idiom in much the same way as what you find in Numbers 33, verse 55, where the Canaanites, who were not driven out of the promised land, were allowed to remain there as a thorn in the flesh, and thereby also a reminder that kept Israel continually dependent upon God and away from dependence upon themselves. So it's very likely, if you interpret Scripture in light of Scripture, that Paul is using that idiom thorn in the flesh in the same way that it's used in Numbers. So he's being continually tormented, as it were, and through that persecution and torment, he is reminded continually, daily, if you will, of his dependence upon God.
Oh, okay. I just wondered why God would use Satan to torment Paul, one of his followers or one of his disciples.
Well, remember what the text actually says. Paul is writing and he says, to keep me from becoming conceited.
Yeah,
because
right.
of the surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh. Now remember, the Israelites were given a thorn in their flesh. And Paul, I think, is saying in the same way that they were given a thorn in their flesh, so also I have been given a thorn in my flesh. And many times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, says Paul, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. Now, there are others that have speculated that that thorn in the flesh, as it were, was, you know, the bad eyesight that came as a result of the blinding vision that he received on the road to Damascus. But again, I think that is speculation. I don't know that I agree with that, but it certainly is not an impossible interpretation either. But I can tell you, without going into specific details, that I have had these kinds of thorns in my flesh as well, where there are those who are instruments of unrighteousness that seek constantly to torment you. And in that process, you recognize your complete dependence on the Lord. You cannot control external circumstances, so what you do is you just become dependent on the Lord, and you rely on His mighty power. It drives you into the bosom of the Savior, and you're actually transformed through that. You know, Spurgeon had many of those thorns in the flesh as well, and he said, "Were you ever in the melting pot, dear friends?" I have been there in my sermons with me. The result of melting is that you arrive at a true valuation of things and you're poured out in new and better fashion. You know, he was not only afflicted by physical maladies like gout, but he was afflicted by envious pastors and church leaders and supposed Christians who were so jealous of his popularity that they tormented him, they slandered him, and he had to live with all of that. But through that, he was driven into new and better fashion, he says. And of course, though he died young, he is considered history's most widely read preacher. He died at 57, imagine that, and yet his collection of sermon titles, I think, is the largest by any individual Christian leader.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate that interpretation of that I hadn't even really thought about that. I was just wondering why God would use something like that. So,
well, remember, God uses all things together for good,
yeah,
to those that,
yes,
love Him
does,
and those who are called according to His purpose. And even Satan, what he means as a temptation, is used by God as a test that either separates us from God or brings us ever more closely into fellowship with Him and dependence upon Him.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot. I really appreciate it.
You got it, Phyllis. Thank you so much for calling me today. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Larry. He's listening in British Columbia, Canada. Hi, Larry.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing, buddy?
Doing good. How are you?
Oh, I'm really great. I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Hmm.
Thank God for that. What I wanted to talk to you about, Hank, was your golf game. How's it going?
Well, you know, I'm hanging in there.
It is hard to keep the things together.
That's right.
But anyways, Hank, what I wanted to talk to you about, thank you for your ministry. I'm really quite happy to be talking with you at all. I'm a daily listener when I can.
Oh, bless
and
you.
I'd like to know about John.
Yeah.
In John, Jesus goes up to the well. He's talking to a woman at the well, and he says to her, "A time is coming, and the time is now." Now, he's speaking in to me, I got confused because he was speaking in the future and then the present at the same time. Can you expound on that for me?
Yeah, it's an idiom. A time is coming was common prophecy language. Jesus is speaking as a prophet, very much like Jeremiah did. You know, Jesus is the heir to linguistic riches of the Old Testament prophets and a greater prophet than them all. You know, Jeremiah said, "The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel." And, of course, when Jesus spoke in this way, the woman accepted Jesus as a true biblical prophet. And when she did, the time for her now is, because the future had broken in to the already, the power and glory of the consummation was available to the disciples in their present lives. This is a beautiful, not only idiom, but an indication prophetically that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And when the Lamb of God has come, you don't have to worry about whether you're worshiping in a temple in Mount Gerizim or a temple in Jerusalem, because now it's not about glistening gold and luminous limestone. The temple is now in your midst.
That really helps me out a lot. And do you think I could ask you one quick one?
Sure.
One more one.
Yeah.
It says in the Word that when we ask Jesus into our heart, we were indwelled with the Holy Spirit at that time, and we're given certain kind of inherent rights, like a gift. I mean, if it wasn't good enough to get the gift of eternal life and salvation and be sanctified, he says, right now you are priests of the Most High God. Melchizedek, is that a correct pronunciation, and are we really priests?
Yeah, well, we are. We are a priesthood of all believers, and the language that was once reserved for Israel is now applied to the people of God. They are called a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people who are called out to exclaim the excellencies of Christ to the world. So what does Peter say? As you come to him, the living stone rejected by men and chosen by God and precious to him, you also are like living stones being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Why? Because we are true Israel. We are called to be a light to the world. With that, we're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember our contact information on the web at sequip.org, via the mail, it's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000 in the letters CRI. Again, thanks for tuning in. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
If you thought the pandemic was scary, it may actually pale in comparison to today's pandementia. We're talking about wokeism and its growing legions of followers who have defiantly and dangerously declared their independence from reality. That's right. For those infected by the woke virus, anytime their ideology encounters reality, ideology wins. To help halt the advance of this deadly social and mental disease, you'll want a copy of the upcoming special edition of the Christian Research Journal. In it, you'll feast on penetrating analyses and criticisms of one of the most dangerous ideologies in modern history, all written to help you grasp just how deranged this tyrannical movement actually is. To receive your copy, visit equip.org, that's equip.org, or call 888-7000-CRI, that's 888-7000-CRI.